Goes. Coming through? Okay. I guess I thought I had my listening device, which has a roller instead of a button to push. Got a little confusion there. A little confusion. That's what we're going to deal with this morning. Confusion. That was an object lesson, by the way. If you have your Bibles, turn in to John chapter 6, and we will pray when you get there. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we can spend together in your Word. We thank you that we still have the freedom to gather and worship your holy name and just learn of you. Lord, we thank you for the truth that is we find in your Word. I pray that in the lesson today we will see the truth and the error and recognize each and how to discern each. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have recently determined that teaching moments that I've previously taken when doing Lord's Table probably were not the way certain thoughts, measures, doctrines should be handled. I think we need to think as a church that our presentations on the observance of the Lord's Table, while it's okay to make a reminder that the Lord's Table is a memorial, not a confessional, but then I don't believe we ought to go into a teaching moment on that statement. Hence, what I'm going to do this morning regarding the Lord's Supper. I have determined, after having read a little bit over time, over the years really, since I've been doing Lord's Table and sharing with my fellow elders, First Corinthians 11 has brought to mind several other topics that I would like to teach, or one of maybe another teacher in a Sunday school class, or possibly even a Wednesday night, would teach on those points that we find in 1 Corinthians 11. I won't iterate what those are right now, other than I believe they're there, they're ripe for study. And today I'm going to deal with the Lord's Supper and the doctrinal confusion that arises out of the 6th chapter of John. John chapter 6 is not about the Lord's Supper. When I say Lord's Supper, I'm talking about the observance that we do here once a month that other denominations may call the Last Supper, the Lord's Table as we do, or communion, if you will. The observance that Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. John chapter 6, I hope you will find and agree with me that this passage does not deal with the Lord's Supper. Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper, of course, as I reminded from time to time, I believe this is all right to do in the observance service when we observe it, is found written by five of the apostles addressed this subject. The apostles Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all addressed the Lord's Table. In Matthew 26, Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22, and John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is crucial your understanding of the fact that John chapter 6 is not about the Lord's table. All four Gospels record the last Passover observance for Jesus before His crucifixion, death, burial. You would rather have it back there? Okay. I figured that would grab a little easier. Okay. Antenna too. Okay. Good to go? I guess we are. All four Gospels record the last Passover observance for Christ Jesus before His crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. The apostolic record accurately conveys the simplicity to the memorial in 1 Corinthians, which was written by the Apostle Paul. This also deals with some doctrinal issues, many other issues in 1 Corinthians, as there was a lot going on in Corinth. And Paul had a lot to say about what was going on. And one of those doctrinal criticisms was regarding the Lord's table, or the Passover ritual observance. Doctrinal confusion centers on the meaning of the elements of the memorial service, that is, the blood and the wine. The bread is Christ's body, and the wine is Christ's blood. The confusion is rooted in contextual interpretive error. That's 25 cent words for you. That we find in John chapter 6, which if you have turned to it, we won't read the whole chapter, of course. Specifically, I'm going to focus on probably verse 35, 47, repeat 48 of 35, then 51, 53, and 54. This is, of course, the Christ dissertation on the bread of life. I am the bread of life that he states twice in the chapter, in verse 35 and again in verse 48. And he says, Christ says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He repeats it in 48. I am the bread of life. And in verse 51, in fact, I'll just start with verse 50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, I think that's a legitimate question. Indeed, I think it is. But what you have to remember here is the Jews are caught up in the blood. Ever since the Ten Commandments and the set and God's directives to Moses through the Levite priesthood asked for blood as a sacrifice. Later on in John, Christ doesn't talk just about his flesh, he talks about his blood. So this is on the table for those of the temple that are hearing what Christ is saying here. Christ is more than likely in a synagogue or the temple teaching. This was not uncommon for lay people. It wasn't just priests that got up and talked in the temple. Anyone could get up and talk at any time. This went on all day long. It wasn't a Sunday observance or a Saturday observance. It was a worship service that proceeded there practically all week, as far as I can tell. There was no time that somebody wasn't in the temple talking about the Scriptures. And in verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. As I said, if you focus on verses 48, 51, 53, and 54, you get the gist of John chapter 6 and the criticism that comes with the doctrinal confusion that centers on this particular passage. And it centers on what the bread and wine elements represent regarding Jesus' body and blood. And we're talking about the contemporary church that we know, not so much, I'm not sure when this began in the church. I didn't get that far into my lesson to determine that. But this was an emergency substitutionary request with our brother Terry Posey is home with possible chances of COVID. I've sort of gathered this together in a bit of a hurry. What are the elements? There are four possibilities that the elements could represent. That they are the actual body and blood of Christ. That they contain the body and blood of Christ. That little cup that we peel back and drink and eat the bread from, is that what's in those elements? The third thing that it could possibly be that the body and blood of Christ are spiritually present in the elements that we partake of. And the elements, number four possibility, the elements only represent the body and blood of Christ. Doctrinal confusion can then center further on the benefits of partaking in the elements. Is there some spiritual benefit to partaking of the elements? Do you expect something to happen to you after taking the elements? Spiritual growth, that is maturity, a change of life, so to speak, come to Jesus moment. Could it be that for someone? I think people look at it that way. I don't think that's an accurate picture that the Bible portrays. It's a memorial. We're remembering what Christ did for us on the cross. That's what we should remember. That's what we should focus on. That's what should change our life. That's what should teach us as we walk our sanctification walk, knowing that our eternal security is safe. But what we need help with, that's help's already helped. That's already happened. We've got it if you believe. But what do we do from that day forward? That's not what the memorial observance is about. That's not what the elements can convey. But that mindset does exist out there. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that mindset per se, except to be aware of it and its potential for misinterpretation of what the observance, the memorial observance, is about. You're missing the point. The reading of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Last Supper accounts indicate that no confusion regarding the eating or the drinking of the blood exists in these passages. Personally, and the commonly held view is that Jesus was referring to whether people believed him or not in John chapter 6. That was what Jesus was on. That was his topic. That was his theme. What do you believe about me? This is what you need to know about me. He wasn't talking about the last Passover. And boy, there's a cannonball shot coming on that one here in just a little bit. John chapter 6 cannot teach Christ's body and blood are actually present. And more to the point, the John's Gospel account of the Last Supper is recorded in chapter 13, not chapter 6. Turn with me to John chapter 13. This is the cannonball shot coming up. Recorded right. Starting in verse 21, Jesus had said these things. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he whom I shall give a piece of the bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, "What you do, do so quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things that we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Obviously, this is a Passover moment that we know from the other books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that this scene occurred during the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples. The upper room, where they were taught to go before they observed the Last Supper. What we have here is contextual interpretive error, as I said before. The bread of life context in John 6 is not connected to what Paul plainly records in 1 Corinthians 11. Or, more to the point, comes the cannonball shot here in just a little bit. When Paul authored the account on the memorial observance of the Last Supper, it was, you could consider it a foundational institution of the memorial observance, because it's an apostle now, not just a disciple, that it's recording this years later. And the cannonball shot is there exists historical evidence, chronological evidence, if you will. If you're a theologian, you know this already, that the sacramental interpretation of John 6, that Jesus was speaking of the Eucharist, that is the memorial observance, it's often called Eucharist in theological terms, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Historically and chronologically, Jesus did not institute the Last Supper memorial until about 1 year later in his Bread of Life statements, where he said, "My flesh is bread indeed, or my blood is wine indeed," or vice versa, I'm sorry. Drink indeed. The two events are separated by at least a year. That's your cannonball shot to determine how to discern doctrinal error when reading a passage. When some may say, "Well, gee, what did he mean by all this?" Well, you have to learn how to read and think and research to find out that indeed, not only are the two passages not connected, the subject matter is totally different. Not only that, it's that they were separated by a year, where Jesus actually said these words a year apart from each other. What he said about bread of life was prior to what he said about the Last Supper with his disciples. Now, about the blood. The controversy here is not so much doctrinal today. Why were the temple priests up in arms about Jesus' comment about the blood? Because blood was part of their ritual in the temple, animal blood. But here Jesus is telling them, "You've got to drink my blood. You got to eat my body, for my flesh," they're going crazy. The importance of blood to God began, golly, in Genesis. I mean, the ladies know that from Terry's teaching in the Old Testament on Tuesday night. Christ was really saying in this passage, "My blood alone will our Heavenly Father accept as an atonement for sin, the sin of disbelief, which leads to eternal life with the Father." The atonement of the blood leads to eternal life, not the disbelief. The atonement that was made in the temple with the blood of animals didn't forgive sin. It covered sin, and only for a short time. A year at the most, as I understand it. Right, Terry? Okay. And that would be a paraphrase of the blood sacrifice commentary in John chapter 6. Christ was telling them, "My blood is what's going to do what my Father wants done on your behalf and the rest of the world's behalf." We were to have been as a people, Christ paraphrase, is we were to have been as a people a witness to the nations. And that didn't happen. Over and over again, God removed them from the land and brought them back, removed them from the land and brought them back until they built a second temple. The second temple was the one that was destroyed by the Romans. And so what we have is Christ sort of chewing out these guys and them not wanting to hear it. Remember that by faith alone and before the cross, the Jews upon physical death did not go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom, which is a segment of Sheol. And they awaited Christ there, their Messiah that they expected, that they had faith in before they died, the reason for them being there and not in hell itself. They awaited him, and that's where he went post-crucifixion. I would say I'm finishing early, I believe. So we could conclude then that John 6 bread of life passage is not doctrinally connected to the passages Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nor 1 Corinthians. That the John 6 bread of life dissertation is not doctrinally connected to the passages, and that instituting the Lord's Supper memorial, nor to Paul's epistle. As I've said, I apologize for the brevity of the lesson this morning. Are there any questions?
Could bread be his word, his truth?
Of course, it can.
So
that would be another context. Yes,
he is the bread of life.
I am the bread of life. The bread is food indeed. Yeah. Oh, yes. I agree with that. Yes, ma'am. The question was, say it again. The word being the bread of life. Yes. Well, he's the word. He's the word. We know that. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. And the word was with God in John chapter 1:1. Yes. Christ is the Word. Yes. So bread, Word, yes. Oh, yeah. That's sound doctrine. Anybody else?
To me, like what it's telling them in John 6 is that I am the Son of God, and that's why they're so upset, because he tells them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And when he says Son of Man, that goes back to Daniel.
Of course, they wouldn't accept that. They didn't have that concept. No, I agree. They were missing an awful lot that was already there for them to see in the Old Testament. Remember, at the time Christ was saying all this, there was no New Testament. I think we all know that. I shouldn't even have to say that. But it wasn't recorded until 30 or 40 years later after his death, and then it continued to be recorded until the apostles all died, or they're, in some cases, some of their disciples died. But, yes. So your question was, I'm sorry, so I can get it.
I just made a statement.
Okay. Okay.
He's associating himself with that he is the bread of life, which is the eternal life, unless you partake of his body, which is going to be broken on the cross.
Yes.
And his blood is going to be shed for you, that you don't get it. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, you can't have it. It's not yours.
They don't.
No, they don't. They don't. Reviewing some of my notes here just to see if I missed anything. Okay, anybody else? Again, I apologize for the brevity, but okay, let's close. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask your forgiveness for the brevity of this lesson. I missed the time aspect of it. I pray that what we have heard today will ring true, that we will see it in your word, that we can take faith in what your word says, that as a people, we should be just on our knees grateful before you whenever we gather. We know that your indwelling spirit speaks to us. I pray that we would be sensitive to that speaking. Just go with us as we worship the rest of this morning and sing praises to you and reading in your word, internalizing it into our hearts, working it into our lives as we walk as an example to the nations and those around us, our people in this community. Lord, I thank you for your plan and purpose for the ages. A part of it that we are, smallest part, that without you, we are nothing. You precede all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our testimonies. And without that preceding, we are nothing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.